Kia ora. Welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. But right now, we're going to hear a message from myself, our Wellington campus pastor, Chris White. We really trust you'll enjoy today's message.
I believe God has a great plan for you, but the enemy is trying to distract you. I believe God has a plan to bless you, but I think the enemy has been trying to bombard you. And I feel like there's many people here, you're in the middle of a spiritual battle right now. I'm just going to go straight to it. Is that okay? So you've been dodging arrows from the enemy. I think some of you feel like that. Maybe wrestling with worry, with anxiety. I don't know, maybe you've been holding back tears in your worship, but you are here and you're still standing. You're still breathing. You're still in God's house. And I think that's worth thanking God for, that He's doing that in your lives. I believe God's got some good news for me to bring, that God has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. In fact, right in the middle of that battlefield, He's preparing something. It's not a lecture. It's not a lesson. It's not a fight, but it's a feast. A feast. A table in the presence of your enemies. When you feel like the enemy is prowling, that's when God is preparing. When your world seems at war, God welcomes you in peace. And if you can learn to sit down at the table, even when the war is still raging, you're going to discover that what God is feeding you is greater than what the enemy is throwing at you. Come on, God's got great things for you. He's got a plan for your life. We need to give Him a bit more praise than that. Let's thank God. Psalm 23 is an incredibly beautiful psalm. And for years, I would read it, and I'd often read it off. I don't know why. The first few lines just sound so beautiful, and I just thought, oh, this is just some, cheesy kind of psalm. I'm just going to be honest. That's just what came into my head. Maybe I was distracted growing up as a kid, because the only time I ever saw the psalm was on wall hangings in pastel colors, you go to a grandmother's house, and she had it crocheted on some cushion somewhere, eh? And it was that kind of psalm. But the psalm is actually incredibly gritty and real. It's a very real psalm. Like, you get to verse 4, it's not very far in, and suddenly it turns gritty and real. But I tell you what, there's something that incredible about the psalm. What it's trying to express is that we live in two worlds simultaneously. I don't know if you've seen that in the psalm, but we live in two worlds simultaneously. There's the brokenness of this world, and all we experience with that, wars, famine, oppression, people trying to take advantage of others. And then there's the other world, which is the wholeness of the kingdom of God, with all of His provision, His blessing, His goodness over our lives. We live in two realities, and it can mess with our minds, because we suddenly feel that if I'm under attack, then you start to wonder, is God really with me? We start to wonder, is God really in this? But Psalm 23 tells us something quite radical. Not only is He with us, but He sets a feast right here, right in front of our enemies. That's worthy of praising God for. That's what He does. Psalm 23, I've missed out the first three pretty verses. We're going to verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, other versions say through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, that's an amazing psalm. On the 16th of November, 2018, Anna and I were invited to a church member's house. They were bringing us over to their place for dinner, along with our lead pastors at the time, John and Jillian. We're invited over to their house, and it just so happened that this church member was also an ambassador for their particular country, okay? So they had laid it on. This was an experience that I have never, ever repeated or kind of experienced before. So before dinner, they were going to take us on a tour through their house. Now, they decided that it was going to be a rock and roll house. You're thinking, what is a rock and roll house? Well, what they'd done is they'd brought all their rock and roll memorabilia from their country over to this country to set up in the house. And you're thinking, what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what, it was extreme. On the walls, it's not posters. There were posters. There were lots of posters. There were albums. There was records. But not just that. There was guitars hanging on the walls by rock legends, mainly from the 80s. You know, we're talking about ZZ Top. We're talking about Alice Cooper. Some people are like, I've never heard of those guys. No, don't look them up either. But those guys signed with his name on it to this guy, you know. But there's all sorts of things around the room. There was other things hanging on the walls. There was a kick drum hanging on the wall. You're like, now that's the biggest drum over there. Kick drum with Aerosmith written on it. It was their kick drum. Somehow he got a hold of it. I don't know if he stole it. I don't know. He got a hold of it anyway. But the one that really took my attention, I've actually got a photo for you up on screen, is this one. That's me. That's Anna. And that's his Kiss. Now, again, if you've never heard of Kiss, don't look them up. But this was amazing. So Kiss, this was their drum kit that was on their last world tour. So this is the real deal. It still had, you can't see in this picture, I had another picture, but I haven't got it with you. But it had lyrics still written out on the drum skins. Obviously, after years of playing, the drummer still couldn't remember the lyrics. But there we go. Don't do drugs, kids. But that's what happens. And as you can see, there's life-size cutouts. That is just a small corner of his house, right? That was all before dinner. You can take that photo down. That's probably not helpful for people's spirituality. But then we had the dinner, and everything was laid on for us. It was a three-course meal. There was a personal chef. We had printed out with our names on top the menu and what was being served for each course. We had next door to our plate, we had a biography, printed biography of this guy's life. He had signed for us to take away. His wife had made, some of you going, whoa, he really liked himself. Yeah, maybe he did. Anyway, I never planned any of this stuff. Okay. And then his wife had also done handmade gifts for us, cards, little pieces for us to take away. The knives and forks were incredibly ornate silver. The plate had gold-plated edging on it, and the country's insignia gold-plated in the middle of it. You know, this is just the level of this thing. And we ate, we enjoyed food, we chatted, and we were given that incredible hospitality. At the end of the night, we stood in front of their country's flag, and we had a photo, and they were holding their family dog. And that's how the night ended. I would have put that photo on, but it was too cheesy to put up. So there we go. Now, I think somehow this is, although humorous, this is an incredible depiction of what David is describing in Psalm 23. But there's one key factor that's missing. Because in Psalm 23, there's one other element present. Enemies. And they were right there. So you can imagine, the scene would have been the same if I'd been at the ambassador's house, but lurking outside in the bushes were people out to kill us, you know, with weapons. And that is a bizarre thought. But that is, somebody going, wow, maybe there might have been. I don't know if there were. The guards might have taken them out, but there we go. But I tell you what, that picture is more of a true reality than what we would see with our natural eyes. Like in this passage, David draws on some very, very powerful images. Images that paint a much richer and expansive understanding than we would just give credit for a six-verse psalm. I just want to focus on three images. Is that all right? The feast, the oil, and the cup. The feast, the oil, and the cup. Because what David is saying to the reader, and if I could emphasize this even more, what God is trying to say to you is that it holds a key. If you would not just understand them, but you would avail yourself of these images, you would tap into an experience of God that would change the war with your enemies and would expand your understanding of God's abundance. Does that make sense? So let's go have a look at these images. Number one, the feast. Verse 5 says simply this, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. God has invited us to a table. It's a table where much preparation has taken place. I want you to imagine there's like an invitation written out with your name on. It's printed. It's, you know, it's in gold lettering. It's there for you. This is not like a potluck. This is not like a, you know, hey, what's left over in the fridge? Let's have these guys round. Maybe they'll bring something that'll be good. No, no, no. This is a feast. It's a symbol of hospitality. God's saying, I'm welcoming you. God is serving us to show that he wants to honor us, to welcome us. If he didn't want to honor us, he'd just give us a lunchbox and send us on our way. But that's not the image. He's taking time to prepare, to seat us at a place of honor at the table. It's a symbol of intimacy. To be invited to someone's home to share a meal, that takes things to a whole nother level. When Anna and I were sitting there talking at the table with the ambassador, what did we talk about? Well, they started to talk about their kids, what was going on with their kids. We started to talk about our kids. They started to talk about how they met each other, the jobs they'd had, what led them to this point. We started to share our story. And at the table, somehow, now our worlds are coming closer together. That's what God wants to do. He's invited us to intimacy with him. Psalm 34:8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. When you eat with him, it brings this level of closeness. You talk personally. You're face to face. You share together. James 4:8 says this, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. When I read this verse in my preparation, I felt like God was drawing out a significant point. We live in two worlds. The enemy is in our face. And God has laid out a feast. But God doesn't want our hearts divided. Although we're in two worlds, he wants us to stare into his face, directly in front of him, talk with him, share our lives with him. How do you know if you've been staring in the enemy's eyes too long? When you allow him to define your mood. When your expectation of what is ahead is more based on the enemy's presence than on God's presence. When you realize that it's been a very long time since you've sat at the table and shared your deepest thoughts with your Father. But that table is also a symbol of provision and generosity, that you'll be sustained. You'll get up from this meal full. It's not one of those five-star restaurants where every plate looks amazing, but it's only the size of like a 10-cent piece, you know? Yeah, because those places you go to and afterwards you have to go out and get a burger, eh? I'm looking at many guys in the room. You're agreeing with me. But everything is here for you to have. It's all been laid on for you. Some things at the table are handed to you, and some of them we actually have to request. We have to ask of. They're things for you to take hold of. What I mean by that? Matthew 7, starting at verse 7, says this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In this passage, Jesus is trying to make it clear. His Father wants to give us good things. We just need to ask. Growing up, we used to have a Sunday roast with my family. I got a fairly like sizable family for a Palangi family. So four sisters, one brother, but then they started to get married, have kids. So for very, you know, it didn't take long till we had 15, 20 people around the table for a Sunday roast. And I tell you what, it was a big table. It was spread out. There's lots of food. There's no way that you could reach everything. You had to ask for something to come your way. That's just what happens. God wants us to ask. He's not too short to deliver. He just wants us to ask to put it out there. He's not saying, hey, I don't have the resources. He's saying, I own the thousand cattle on 1,000 hills. That's who God is. And he's saying, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But he stated, I want you to ask, to seek, to knock. That passage literally means to go on asking, to go on seeking, to go on knocking, and God will do that for you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, if you're here in the Arise Center, you would have heard Logan read this before, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God's saying, I'm not short. I've got much to give you. I want to give you so much, and not so that you would have just enough, but you'd have abundantly. This passage here is talking about Christians giving to others. He said, I'm going to give you so much abundantly, you're going to be able to give it to other people. That's God's intention for us. He'd bless us so we'd be a blessing to others. By the way, that's why Arise Care is so important to us as a church, because we're not just blessed for ourselves. We want to make a difference in the community. We want to go out there and bless other people in this own nation of ours. But not only that, as we just saw in the video, in other nations too, God has blessed us so we abundantly bless other people. For many years, I owned my own business, and I was doing music, recording, and production, and I had this dream that I wanted to fulfill that, and I got a chance to do that, which is awesome. But then some of my work started to run out. And that was tough. And I remember thinking, you know, when you own your own business, I know for those business owners, when you are, you know, when you take a holiday, then you're not earning any money often, you know. And I realized it can get really tough really quickly. But anyway, a new opportunity opened up for me. I had a chance to work at a local high school in their teaching understanding faith. So it was like their religious education classes. And while I was doing that, God started to spark something else in me. It was like something new, something I hadn't experienced before. I thought, man, this is actually amazing. I saw God do some incredible things, but that was only for 1 year. Then that finished. Now I'm trying to sort of go back to the music thing, but I don't have enough of that. I'm doing relief teaching, and I didn't quite have enough of that. And I was in this really tough spot. And I remember one time, you know, I was overseeing an exam in a classroom. So they're all beavering hard away. And I just started to write my prayer to God. I was just like, God, I never expected to be here. Like I should be at an age where maybe I've got my life planned out. I don't know. And I just started to write my thoughts down. What was I doing? Well, I didn't kind of picture it like this at the time, but I was seated at the table. I was face to face with God, and I was sharing my heart. God, did I miss the boat somewhere? What happened? Like, how did I miss the course? Do you have something good for me in the future? Because I don't know if the place I'm in right now really matches what I thought I'd be doing. And I poured my heart out with God. What was I doing? I was asking. I was seeking. I was knocking on his door. God, do you have anything more? I feel like I was made for more. I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you're in a season where you're like, man, I feel like I've lost my way, or maybe I thought I would be somewhere else by now, but I'm not there. Maybe you're in a place where you just know your desperate need in a certain area. Maybe finances are good for you. Maybe they're not. Maybe you find yourself in a position where you're like, there is no sense of purpose in my life. I can't see where that is. The next job offer I got was to work at a place called Arise Church. And can I tell you, some of you are going, oh, that doesn't sound like a dream job at all. May not be your dream job. And I tell you what, it's been the last few years has been somewhat challenging at times. But I've never asked that question, God, you know, where's my purpose? For some reason, this place actually fulfills a sense of purpose in me. And I believe God wants to fulfill purpose in your life. If you see that table, come on, that's worth praising God for. If you see that table feast and you're just thinking, oh, it's just about God supplying my finances. Man, you've missed the boat. God wants to supply way more than your finances. He actually wants to supply purpose, meaning to your life. He wants to bless your relationships. He wants to bless the essence of how you do life itself. He wants to bless you so much, you will be blessing other people and recognizing your sense of call in God and life. That's a great thing that God does. The second thing is the oil. Psalm 23:5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. This is a powerful symbol on a few fronts. I don't have time to really talk about all of them, but oil is actually a powerful symbol of healing. This is like essentially a shepherding psalm. The Lord is my shepherd is how it starts. And shepherds in those days used oil on sheep to help them with healing. When they had wounds, they'd use oil because otherwise parasites would get in and the sheep would start to actually damage themselves. So it was a symbol of healing. But also it's a powerful symbol of identity. God saying, I honor you as I put oil on you. I'm actually honoring you. I'm setting you apart. Oil has another symbol, which is royalty. And this was written by David. Like kings were anointed with oil. Priestly people were anointed with oil. And this applies to us. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're a king. You're royalty. Because you're a son or daughter of the king. That's why we're royalty. And he's anointing us in that light. If the band could come and join me. The third thing is this, is the cup. My cup overflows with blessings. In the culture of the time, a host would fill a guest's cup to represent how generous he wanted to be towards the guest. So if your cup was mostly full, that was great. If it was to the brim, that would be unbelievable. But what does David say? Nah, my cup overflows. It got to the brim, but God just didn't stop. He just kept pouring it out. The significant thing I want to point out here, because we talked about generosity, is that David noticed the generosity of God. And that's something I think God wants us to grab a hold of. David noticed the generosity of God. Lamentations 3 says this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. By the way, that verse was written in one of the saddest books of the Bible, Lamentations. What is it saying? That even when faced with your enemy, even when you might be in a season of sadness, or lament, or grief, look up, because the abundance of the Lord is being poured out somewhere in your life. Come on, it is somewhere in your life. I guarantee you, if you look at your life right now, you will find an area where the Lord is pouring out his blessing on you. You will find an area in your life right now. You may be feeling lack in one area, but in another area, he's pouring out his blessing on you. His blessing is coming. He's providing his provision, his abundance, his love. Our problem is we focus on our lack and we often miss the goodness of God in our lives. But can I tell you, if you shift your gaze to look to the Lord, if you'll take a moment to sit at the table, look across at his face and see the goodness of the Lord in your life, man, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your world. I remember 3 years ago when we went through challenges with Leo, our son. He's going to turn 3 tomorrow. And for about 8 weeks, we spent 8 weeks in hospital. And about half of the time was in ICU here in Wellington, up in Auckland at Starship. He had to be revived 3 or 4 times. You know, things did not look good. Simultaneously, at the same time, all the chaos was going on here at church. That was the exact same moment. I remember one time being at ICU in Wellington, and the nurses there are on for a 12-hour shift just with your child, right? So I'm there at the start of the 12-hour shift thinking, well, we're going to get to know each other, you know? And she asked me, what do you do for a job? I'm like, oh, man, don't ask me that. So I was trying to be discreet. I said, oh, I work for my local church. I mean, I could be a caretaker, it could be anything, you know? She goes, oh, what church is that? I was this close. It went through my head. I was going to say Petone Baptist. Great respect to Petone Baptist, by the way. It's an amazing church. But I eventually said, oh, Arise Church. He goes, oh, you'll be having a really hard time then. Oh, yeah, no, well, thanks. Thanks for reminding me. Also at the same time, we had a financial at massive turn of events, which meant that we had this enormous bill come with our house, which was unpredicted, insurmountable. We're like, what the heck? These three things hit us at the same time. But can I tell you, I look back at that season with such fondness, because I saw the goodness of the Lord. I mean, sure, Leah was revived three times, but hey, he was revived three times. My gosh, how good was that? People are praying for us. We feel the tangible sense of people's prayers on our life. God provided miraculously in regards to our finances and overturned the situation in an incredible way. And just thing after thing, the goodness of God poured out. Like, my cup is overflowing right now. Tell you what, God's doing the same in your life as well. I know that many people in here, you're finding things tough. Maybe it's your job. I don't know what it is. But God is pouring out His blessing in your life. He's pouring out His blessing in your life. It's overflowing right now. That's what He's doing. Some of you are experiencing grief right now, pain, suffering in all sorts of ways. Can I tell you, look for the Lord, because He's pouring blessing. He seated you at a feast. He's saying good things are coming your way. I've got great plans ahead for you. Why don't we stand to our feet? Man, this is how the psalm ends. This is how the psalm ends. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy. Come on, it's saying, surely it's inevitable. Goodness and mercy, the goodness of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word follow is not passive, it's active. It actually means to actively pursue. Another word you can translate it is hound. It will hound me down. The goodness of God will hound you down. It won't leave you. It won't forsake you. God is literally chasing after you to bring good things into your life.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.